Before I entered diaconate formation, one of the things the diocese requires is that all men take a psychological test, a written psychological test. That did not really faze me. And I thought, rather brazenly, I'm a normal guy. I have nothing to fear. Maybe I'm a little bit of an introvert, but that's not an issue. It's just a personality trait, right? So I take the test. And a few weeks later, I meet with the psychiatrist there to go over my results. And he shows me my chart of my test results, this little line graph. And I'm looking at it, and the line says normal, 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 huge spike, normal, normal, normal. And I'm like, whoa, what's that spike thing there? Psychiatrist says, that's social anxiety. I'm like, whoa, huh. I did not know that. So what I thought was my normal introversion was actually not so normal after all. And so when I did enter formation, regardless of that, and I did also enter into therapy to deal with this social anxiety that upon further reflection, I realized, yes, I actually did indeed have. The therapy was good, and there were wounds I had to address there, and there was some healing that was needed to deal with this issue. But after a while, by the grace of God, I was much better. I became much better with it now. But that experience of thinking everything going on in my life was completely fine, there was nothing wrong with me, and realizing that there's something deep inside me that I could not see myself, helped me to understand that I was not invulnerable, I was not perfect. And nobody is perfect, right? We all have some brokenness, some wounds to some degree in our lives. Even the most stoic, the most strong-hearted among us also carry wounds. We all could use some healing. Whether it be physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual, I think we all have some wounds, some brokenness we can address. Maybe from bad experiences in our past. Maybe we have this habitual sin that just nags us. Addiction, depression, anxiety. It doesn't need to be large things. It could be small things that just kind of fester within us. But it seems like for everybody there is something, right? All of these wounds that we have, this brokenness in our lives, in our world today, all of this is a result of sin. And the wages of all these sins is ultimately death. As we hear in our first reading from Wisdom, it sets up really the story for our gospel today. God did not make death. That was not in his original plan for us. Death is a result of sin. God made us to be imperishable, to live forever eternal life. We are made in his image for that reason. But then sin entered the world. And with it, so did the wounds, so did the brokenness, and so did the death. But God, in his ultimate wisdom, does not let the story end there. He hears the cries of his people, and he sends his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to heal us, to cure us of sin. And as soon as Jesus' public ministry starts, he goes straight to work, healing the wounds, mending the brokenness of the people around him. He continues his work throughout his public ministry, and he continues his work with us today. Jesus greatly desires then to heal our wounds, to mend that brokenness. And he has the power to do so. And he desperately wants to. But God, because he gave us free will, we have to want it as well. We have to ask for Jesus' healing. But many of us, what do? We hold back from that healing. For some purpose, or maybe unwittingly, we hold back. Why? Why will we not allow our Savior then to heal us of our wounds? The answer is fear. It could be fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of the unknown, fear of what that healing may expose in our lives. Think of the alcohol or the drug addict. They know they can be cured, right? If I just go through the process of curing, I can be healed, as many others have. But they sometimes don't do so. Why? Because the fear of the process of healing, of curing, fear of what they have to then face because they were hiding it in their addiction. The single person could be a single person who fears any kind of committed relationship because they have seen their own parents' marriage crumble and be torn apart as a child. And so therefore that bad memory, that wound stays embedded within them, and they fear commitment. They fear what might happen to them as well. This fear then can keep us in sin, keep us in that habitual sin as well. It could keep us from being whom God has called us to be. We need to face our fears. We must learn how to reject our fears. Jairus was a synagogue official, which meant he had a pretty high status in the Jewish religion. He would have then known the Pharisees, and the synagogues generally did not take very kindly to Jesus. So for Jairus then to approach Jesus in a crowd, mind you, was a bold step for him. He was essentially, in their eyes, crossing enemy lines to Jesus. Jairus, however, was desperate. He was about to lose his daughter, and he had to face his fears and go to Jesus in a crowd, in public, to plead him for a miracle. The woman with hemorrhages, she also had to face her own fears. Because of her affliction, she was considered unclean by Jewish laws, and therefore she should not have been in the crowd at all. And to be exposed as to what her affliction she had in that crowd would have been very devastating to her. But she was desperate for a cure, so she faced her fear and she went to Jesus. And then Jairus is then tested again when he is told that his daughter had died. Imagine in that brief moment then, can you imagine just what he would have thought? That it's too late. Did I fail? Did I not do enough? Was I not quick enough? Is her death then my fault? Fear, doubt, despair, they often go together. But in his brilliance, Jesus senses all of this. And then Jesus says those words that, brothers and sisters, we should burn these words into our hearts and never forget. Do not be afraid. Just have faith. Jairus and the woman with hemorrhages overcame their fear just enough to ask Jesus for help. And even when that fear was still there, the woman approached in fear, Jairus had the fear, Jesus comforted them. And how did they face their fears? By faith. As a deacon, and as a deacon with lingering social anxiety that I'm still dealing with, I've had to go into many situations that have caused fear in me. It hasn't been always easy, but in every one of those situations, I say a quick prayer and I say, all right, Jesus, stay with me here. I need you on this one. Don't leave me. And in saying that, you know what? He doesn't. He doesn't leave me. It works. It helps. By the grace of God and by the healing of Jesus Christ, I can overcome my fears. Why? Because I know he is with me. Because of faith. So do you truly believe then that Jesus Christ can heal your wounds? Do you truly believe then that Jesus Christ can mend the brokenness in our hearts and our lives? Then, what is it that you fear? Your own failure, rejection, having to face your past? Then you don't face your fears alone. Never face your fears alone. Face them with Jesus. Because if God is with us, then who can stand against us? Certainly not our fears. The greatest ally, your strongest companion, stands ready to walk with you into the unknown, into where you fear to go. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. I got your back." But it takes faith. It's not easy. We have to do our part. We have to go to him, to Jesus, across the crowds, to get a little uncomfortable sometimes. We have to believe that Jesus can and will heal us, that we are worthy of that healing as well. Because, brothers and sisters, you most certainly are. You are beloved by God, and he desperately does want to heal you. Jesus never turns away from those who come to him in faith. Over and over again in our Gospels, Jesus says, "Your faith has saved you. Your faith has healed you." It happens a lot of times. So let him say that to you as well. Go to Jesus. Be not afraid to approach him. Be not afraid of the troubles that surround you, because you are not alone. Just have faith. Know, brothers and sisters, that you are beloved. Know that Jesus will never abandon you. Feel the touch then of Jesus' hand as he takes your hand, and let him heal your wounds. Then you can go in peace. Then you can go in the peace of Christ.